have a disclosure to make, too. I am really hot, really warm. I'm going to take this coat off. Thank you very much, Awal, for introducing me, and I'd like to thank CDC for giving me the opportunity to share some important information regarding FIN 2.0 compliance and data interoperability, data sharing, and also with other data sharing initiatives such as NHIM and other initiatives like that. I think that I hope that the topics that I have here today will. Here's the topics I'll be presenting on, and you'll be able to take some value back with you, and help you in your FIN implementation program or just generally with IT overall. And also, I'd like to invite you. I'd like to give you the opportunity to invite you to help with develop a common set of tools for governance, for data governance. I'll talk more about that later in the presentation and address that, but I think that if we could develop a common set of measures and tool sets for governance and some of the other things, that it could be really valuable to the stakeholders and FIN partners. Okay, first of all, I'm going to deal with IT and data governance. The second topic I'm going to address will be architecture framework. and going over, looking through Janet's and Jeff's presentation, I've tried to make this flow, and so I'll probably be talking more about IT data governance, more so than architectural framework. Just giving you a brief overview of that, I think it could help in your presentations upcoming later. And what I've done is I've integrated some of the best practices and lessons learned within these two topics here. So depending on our time, I don't know how much y'all get into actual specifics on that. One thing I do want to point out also, that when I talk about governance and I say IT or data governance, I'm referring to the same thing. I'm kind of merging those two together, and I think folks have different definitions, and sometimes the same time, sometimes it may not be the same, but in the context of this presentation, it'll be the same, data or IT governance, concerning the same thing. IT is actually the way I view it anyway, in my definition, is the infrastructure, the tools that public health uses in their business processes, program processes, whereas data is the outcomes, the results of that of those tools, a product of those tools, if you will. Okay, first of all, I think we need to define data governance. And before we get into the definitions you see up on the board, that first little tidbit there is the governance approach that many organizations have used in approaching IT over the previous years, and some still are using that. Ready, fire, name, and I'm sure you've, if any of you have been involved with IT very much, you've been in a situation where a lot of the requirements, a lot of the strategic and tactical direction has been applied, or has been a desire to apply those after the project has been implemented. So governance, IT data governance, is where that comes in. The first definition there to steer is from the Greek word, and then the other two definitions are more formal and broad in nature, and detailed in nature too. The IT Governance Institute, and I've got a web address for that later on, is a good resource for getting information about data governance. And also, here's another standard. In Australia has done quite a bit of work on governance too. And I should mention too that governance, IT governance, data governance is a fairly new discipline. It's really been applied over the last few years. It's become more in conversations around some of the technical aspects of business processes and technology, but it's really a fairly new discipline. One of the leading things that has really helped promote IT data governance was a few, about 2 or 3 years ago, a collaboration of about, I think there were about 25 or 30 large companies, including IBM, Sega, and I forget the other ones, but they formed a group, and they spent quite a bit of time, over a year, I think, doing research and coming up with some best practices and some issues to help with data governance. All this came about from the chaos that has resulted from this first scenario. And organizations, especially now in this world where we've got technology that is moving at such a rapid pace, and also the call for more real-time data, there really needs to be some formal approach to IT governance. Gartner Group, which is one of the foremost authorities in IT research, last year came out with a study, a survey, and in their findings, the shift now in for IT managers, IT directors, the major, the highest priorities to them is moving from technology itself and moving toward the management of technology. And so that's showing you the importance of IT governance. And I think with FIN initiatives, with new FIN 2.0 and the focus on interoperability and sharing data and collaborating with other health initiatives like NHIN, the National Health Information Network, and other things like that, initiatives like that, is going to really call for some good practices and methods and measurements in governance to first of all, to be compliant with FIN, but also to be efficient and effective with your IT systems. And by the way, if anybody has any questions, I like to have some interaction. You can ask during the presentation or whatever. I don't mind that. Just, Janet, let me know when I'm getting maybe 2 or 3 minutes from my time. So why is governance important? There's really two basic foundations why IT data governance is important. First of all, it delivers value. A better way of putting it in my view is the strategic alignment of IT. It is the aligning IT with business, or in our case, aligning IT with public health processes and programs. Not the other way around, which has been the case in the past, where it's kind of like the businesses have been aligned to IT and to the technology, and that's obviously not the way it should work. We should view IT as a tool for public health to use, not the other way around. The second primary importance is risk are mitigated. And proper data governance builds or embeds accountability into the IT and the management of IT. And here I have some more down on the left-hand side, value added, some of the detailed reasons for value added, and on the right column there, risk mitigated, some of the things that proper governance can do, and in some cases what will happen if you don't do it. For example, negative experiences, loss of money, or for public health sometimes it's the case of loss what's a good word? The news media you get in the paper for something, a multi-million-dollar state project. Yeah. We don't want that to happen. And we all know that you can be tried, you can be innocent, but you can be tried in the media and be found guilty. And risk management is a very important thing in IT projects, especially when we're dealing with a lot of money. But going back to the value-added side, again, I wanted to point out that the big thing, the main thing about the value, the importance of IT, is aligning IT with business practices, with public health practices. And in today's technology, again, with the interoperability and the call for real-time data and some of the projects that are coming down the coming down the pike, such as service-oriented architecture and grid technology, which I'm sure you maybe heard about this morning. I didn't attend the plenary, but I assumed that perhaps was mentioned. That governance is going to be very important. Oops. Okay. How is governance implemented? First of all, this is a common best practice, or industry standard best practice, I should say, from the IT Governance Institute for the primary areas for IT data governance. Now, there are some other organizations that have come out with 8, 10, or 11 of these areas, but they're basically the same areas. They're just more broken down into more detail. And one important facet about these areas is that they're all driven by public health stakeholder values. And the blocks in yellows, the areas in yellows are, the reason they're colored like that, they are the drivers in this model. The blue blocks are the actual outcomes of information data governance. Oops. Okay, if we, and this kind of looks redundant at first look, but it's really not. These are the areas, and also let me mention this, that resource management covers all of these areas, all of these four areas. And that encompasses the, you know, IT staff, the money involved, the technologies, all the resets that are involved with a project or program. Okay, and that's really the first thing that if you're going to implement when you're doing IT governance, that you need to identify those areas that you're going to apply the governance to, whether it's in a project or a program, however you implement it. And once you have a governance program implemented, or you've identified those areas and you want to start a process, it's important to remember that governance is a journey. It's not a destination. It's a continuous life cycle of events, just like system development life cycle. Governance has a life cycle also. And again, it starts out as being driven by the stakeholders' objectives, goals, and these stakeholders in public health could be the various divisions, programs that are within the public health enterprise and their objectives. And we'll talk more about the organizational structure in just a second, but it's very important that these folks be involved. Okay, once those objectives are determined, then the IT strategy is formed from those objectives to meet those objectives. So we got the objectives, the values from the stakeholders driving the IT strategy. Once that's been, the IT strategy has been determined, it directs the IT processes. The IT processes are applied in order to meet these goals that are set down. Now, this is a very important aspect here, is use and measurements. And this is one of the areas where I would hope and I would invite you to provide some constructive feedback with myself and other FIN partners to develop some common measurements for these resources. And I'll address that more later at the end of the presentation. But if we can do that, if we can come up with a common set, it would be very valuable for interoperability and FIN compliance overall. I think it'll save a lot of time and a lot of resources. But anyway, as the IT processes are in action to meet these goals and following the strategy, measurements are taking place and results are reported to a governance committee or whoever, however your governance structure is set up. And these results can be outcomes, the performance, the risk involved, and assets. Now, once the this governance group organization is has done its job here, it can improve these IT process, recommend changes, modified or whatever in this process, and then results is confirmed or changes are made, and the whole cycle begins again. So these steps are repeated again. Usually that's the first step, and it's kind of left that out until the next project, the next fiscal year or whatever. But this is the life cycle that's kind of a best practice as determined by the IT Governance Institute. And again, this is not set in stone. This is where the process itself is another way that we could work together if we can find some type of instrument to share this and to meet, discuss, come up with a common set, not only of the areas in public health, but also the life cycle and the measurement tools to enable this. Does anybody have any questions? Does that make sense? It can be really valuable, I think, and save a lot of time and work if we can. And again, it's not going to fit. One size is not going to fit all. I know that all states are the way they're organized between state and local public health are vastly different. And we got federal CDC to also interact in this. So it's going to be some different subsets, but maybe we can come up with some type of template or a buffet where we can go out there and pick the areas that best fits our systems. And that's how it should work. You modify, you pick what you need, the governance organization you put in place, and also the areas you're going to govern, the way you, what's politically acceptable, the technology uses to measure, and to the methods you use to govern IT. One of the biggest problems, though, I think that folks are going to face, okay, one of the biggest problems folks are going to face is getting senior management of the business processes to take charge and to work with this. I'm going to try to move ahead quickly. Okay, so in conclusion, here's the IT data governance best practices that I've talked about here. Governance should be integrated with the public health program. What I mean here is that within public health enterprise, at the state level, or at the local level, however it's organized, there is a governance committee of some type set up to manage public health. And that's the most important thing. Public health, the actual business processes, you know, what public health is there for, is set up to do that. But is IT integrated within that public health governance program? It should be, because IT now is so pervasive across any activity, any program, any division, any unit in public health, that it should be a piece, not a separate part, but a piece, even though sometimes executive senior management may not want to deal with it because of the lack of knowledge, expertise to address it. But there needs to be a part of that main governance program. Also, number two, governance roles and responsibilities need to be defined. And I've got a handout or a list of those that I'll provide to you. But it's very important that most organizations set up two groups. Well, this is the so-called best practice. There's an IT strategy committee, which is made up of the senior executive highest level folks in public health. And they set the goals and the strategies at the highest level. Then below them, somewhere in the middle management, is the IT steering committee. Now, on this IT steering committee, there will actually be the programs, that are being the activities in public health. And on that steering committee, the CIO or CTO, the IT director, however it works in your organization, should be on that committee, and he needs to be focused, or she needs to be focused, on the public health business activity programs, not IT. And that person is, that position is responsible for taking those directions, those goals and strategies to the IT team people, staff who actually apply the technology. And then here's the governance life cycle that we talked about. Okay, real quickly, I'm going to talk about some framework issues because I know Janet and Jeff are going to address some of this, and I hate to hurriedly get into this, but what is an architectural framework? Well, an architectural framework, is a logical structure for classifying and organizing complex information. Some established frameworks are like Zachman, DODAF, FEAF, and then TAF or TAF, which I'm going to talk more in TOGAF, which I'm going to talk more about this one. Whoops, in just a second. That you just saw TAF fly by. And let me also clear the definition of architecture and architectural framework, the difference between the two. Architecture is the actual product. It's a behaviors, processes, descriptions of the IT infrastructure, system, software, infrastructure, network within the organization. The framework is the guide to develop the architecture. And trust me, it's very important. It can make things much easier, and it's very valuable for interoperability because of the complexity of it. And again, the purpose is to provide an integrated view of public health business processes and IT systems that support them. And it's a guide for, as I just said, a guide for managing architectural activities and why you need a framework to properly develop your architecture, the actual product, or products, I should say. And to manage the architecture, because it is a dynamic repository of artifacts, okay, and of course aligning IT with the public health goals. Now here, I just showed you some examples of some different architectural frameworks that are out there. The one I have here is one that North Carolina NCFIN has been researching, kind of studying. Because it seems that might fit our organization fairly well, and public health fairly well, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But all the frameworks basically are like this, are set up like this. There's a matrix of rows and columns that and this is from IEEE. They have provided some best practice in compliance in some of their standards, but their standards, they recommend that all frameworks have a matrix with a set of views in columns of some type of view and rows that show the various areas or perspectives. And then in each matrix there will be a work product or work products that will be the subset of these matrix where they meet to show a view of that particular for that particular audience. And that particular capability of the architecture, or the information, or infrastructure, or software, or whatever it is. Okay, here I'm just showing some the views, the columns themselves separated, and in each one of these, that is the primary value, what it does. And again, I'll have handouts, and this information will be available for you. The architectural framework, here's the perspectives for the rows, which are the perspectives, the different audience, the people involved with the business, and how the architecture, what they need out of the architecture. These are the products that come out of that. And you can see that a lot of, especially up here in these areas that we're talking about, business activity, not IT, not technology. Technology is a small part of this. It's going to take work, analysis, requirements gathering, and somebody's going to have to get involved, management and senior management, to do this, and they're going to have to take leadership and ownership. And here are some examples of products, as in the TEAF is the Treasury Department Enterprise Architecture Framework. That's what the acronym is. Do I have it on here? I had it somewhere, I think. Anyway, they were charged with an initiative by the General Accounting Office a few years ago to develop an architecture. And what they've come out with is an architecture that's very useful to some federal entities, and it's also developed to other public-private organizations. And the reason North Carolina likes it so far, we haven't, you know, mandated or selected it totally yet, and we might take pieces of this and pieces of another one to put whatever fits us. But the reason North Carolina is interested in this in public health is because this particular these particular views and perspectives are very are the goal of this was to provide outcomes that enable, facilitate interoperability and data sharing. And also it promotes reuse of components and prevents double data entry, for example. It takes advantage of those types of things where processes are not duplicated. And here I just have some work examples, product examples from North Carolina. Here's a vision statement and the view for that. Here is a functional view for the owner of a system. And this is conceptual architecture of NCFIN. And over here are the core processes and then the data that's involved with that and information and the technology at the end. And here's a infrastructure view. All of these are work products that come out of that matrix. And again, you don't have to have a work product in every cell. And it may be that you've got, you know, more than one product. Again, you can custom fit it to fit for your organization and what you want to do. But again, that's another place that we can get together if we can find some kind of avenue for whether it's on the collaborative website, whether it's one of the, I know one place that might be of interest is the community of practice, and they're setting up an architectural community of practice. And so that is one area that we might be able to come up with some common tool sets in architectural framework, but also in governance. Here's a physical network. Let me also point out too, I'm just showing you graphical descriptions. An architectural framework, an architectural product would also include a textual description as well. In the TEF, in the TAF framework, every description, every work product has both. Okay, here's the thing I wanted to mention and I'm finished. One of the things I want to do again is to invite you and somehow or another put in a method, a way of sharing these common, developing a common tool set for governance and also for architecture. We've got the I didn't list that up here because I knew we got the architecture community of practice that's being formed. I'm not sure governance is not really a part of that. I think governance is a separate entity from that, but I'm going to try to research and find out, and I will, along with my presentation that will be posted on the collaborative website, I'll put some information out there, so I hope you'll join in and respond to it. And here's my contact information. Any okay. Other questions?
Thank you. And you have one minute to ask any question you want to ask about. But you will have a chance at the end of the three presentations to ask questions, and it will help you get a good picture of the enterprise architecture integration systems.
Let me also mention to you, I've got other along with this presentation, I posted some other things that might be of value. But on the website, collaborative website, I'm going to put up some things like responsibility. Like here, we've got the governance okay. Best practices.
Janet, community. Yeah, come on. Yeah, can you
thank you very much.
Get out and put the Janet's one? Okay, in the meantime, when.